Hello and welcome to the Heritage Connection, brought to you by the folks here at the Tower Heritage Center, home of the Washington County Historical Society in Washington County, Wisconsin. Our mission is to forge meaningful connections across generations to Washington County's hardworking legacy, and this podcast is one more way we're trying to make those connections. I'm your host, Bella Bussey, and I'm joined by my co-host, Justin Agar-Pratt. Justin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm happy for this kind of milder winter weather that we've been having, and I'm glad that the snow is melting slowly.
Right.
That we didn't get a big rain right away at the beginning and you know, flooding and everything. So yeah, I'm great, and I'm looking forward to talking to our guests today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. We don't have to shovel rain. So.
Right.
Today we're continuing our feature series around the county, where we spotlight various historical organizations around Washington County, Wisconsin. Last week we talked to Pete Sampson and Joni Crivello, President and Vice President of the Richfield Historical Society. This week we'll be introducing Jim Dix and Mary Herrick of the Germantown Historical Society. Jim and Mary, thanks for joining us on the Heritage Connection.
Glad to be here.
So Jim and Mary, would you start by telling us what your respective roles are at your historical society?
I'm Mary Herrick, and I'm a volunteer genealogist. And when people come in looking for information on their ancestors, we help them find it.
Well, I'm the president, and you know, the president has to do administrative type things, but what I like to do is work at the museums and work with Mary and helping people learn about their family heritage.
Mm-hmm. And would you also like to share with our listeners the history and the founding of your organization?
Sure. So it was 50 years ago in 1974 that the Germantown Historical Society was founded by a small group of women led by the vision of a lady named Irene Blau. She was very interested in local history. She would sketch local historic buildings and interview the residents. She discovered that many of these buildings were the homes of original homesteaders from the 1840s to the 1860s. Often, they were the first to settle in all of Washington County because Germantown was the first to be surveyed outside of Milwaukee. She and other members of the Germantown Junior Women's Club would take small historic artifacts to the middle school and talk to the children about them, and eventually Irene became known as the History Lady.
Well, happy 50th anniversary to your organization.
Yeah, thank
I didn't
you.
Know this was your anniversary, yeah.
Yeah, that's 50 years, a long time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now that you've kind of talked about like what inspired its establishment, how has the mission evolved over the years?
Well, back in 1974 when they got started because there was an agreement that needed to be made between the newly formed Historical Society and Our Savior Church to allow Germantown Historical Society to lease the vacant Christ Church building for $1 a year. This historic stone structure was built in 1862, and the original congregation was formed in 1842. The Historical Society's first official project was to clean and refurbish this building to be used as a museum of local history and to store an increasing number of artifacts that the community began to donate to the Young Historical Society. Then, once that huge project was completed, by chance, the house and barn located directly across the street from the church became available for purchase. And while the Young Historical Society had grown in membership and enthusiasm, their bank account was still quite small. But Irene Blau personally stepped up to purchase the property across the street before someone else did, because she envisioned this home to be used as a resource center for genealogy and storing materials and artifacts. The Historical Society then created a partnership with the Germantown Village to create a 10-acre park named Dinesville Historic Park, which incorporated these two more historic buildings. So the Historical Society's mission of preserving and promoting the history of Germantown was quickly growing exponentially.
I've seen in your mission statement of Germantown Historical Society, it emphasizes educating citizens and visitors. How does the organization actively engage with the community to fulfill this educational aspect of the mission?
We have created a PowerPoint presentation which Jim and I share with local senior centers, libraries, and other interested historical society, such as the Waukesha County Historical Society. We give group tours of our three museum buildings to groups of 10 to 20 people, including Cub Scouts. We have partnered with our local library to have a children's reading event at Dinesville Historic Park, which is followed by showing the children and parents related artifacts inside of our museums. We also have a 1929 fire truck on display in one of the buildings. Yeah. We publish newsletters where the president reviews what has happened since the last newsletter and what might be coming up in the future. I also write an article about a historical item of interest, like the history of our buildings or the original hamlets that eventually formed the village of Germantown.
Mary, as a volunteer genealogist, can you tell us about your personal involvement with the society and I guess how you became interested in preserving the history of Germantown?
Well, that goes back a long ways. In high school, my Christian family living teacher asked the class to bring in their pedigree chart. She told us genealogy was researching the family history. When I went home that day, I started to write down my parents' names, grandparents' names, my siblings' names, their birthdays, their birth city. This was the beginning of a lifetime of research. My mother's family arrived in Germantown in the 1850s. My great-grandfather served in the Civil War, and his farm is on Freistead Road, which is where my grandmother was born, in that farmhouse. His house is still there. It was built in 1866, and the 36-acre farm is still being farmed, but is no longer in the family. So my genealogy research led me to visit the Germantown Historical Society Resource Center, looking for more information about my ancestors. I decided to get involved helping people with their genealogy there.
Oh, great. And Jim, same question for you. As president, what's been your personal involvement and how did you become interested in this?
Well, after the Germantown Historical Society had opened the Christ Church Museum of Local History in 1974, I took my family to check it out. And it was then that the Historical Society told me about my own ancestors' involvement in the settling of Dinesville and Germantown back in 1842.
Oh, wow.
Because my ancestors were part of the first group to settle there, other people had already thoroughly researched my own family history. They handed me a book containing my family story dating back to Germany in the 1600s. Obviously, I was stunned and grateful for the incredible amount of genealogy work that other strangers had done to document my own family.
Yeah.
So I kept coming back to learn more about the story of the beginning of Germantown and the people that were pioneer settlers there in the 1840s. Eventually, I began volunteering on a regular basis at the Resource Center. And then 3 years ago, I sort of got drafted as president of the Historical Society. And now I rarely work on my own genealogy, but rather I do really enjoy helping other people learn about their family heritage.
Well, it's a nice way to pay it forward since you had so many people who had been researching your family history. It sounds like kind of without you even realizing it until you showed up, huh?
That's right.
Yeah.
I walked in the museum and there was a display on, Peter Dix, pioneer settler. And I was like, well, what's that about?
Yeah.
Never left since.
Yeah.
So the Germantown Historical Society owns three distinct buildings, the Cilla Lydia Bast Bell Museum, the Christ Church Museum of Local History, and the Valentine Wolf House Museum. Can you provide some insights into the unique history and significance of these buildings?
Christ Church was constructed in 1862 using limestone from the local Rockfield Quarry. In 1888, the bell tower was added, and in 1890, the bells were hung. The congregation chose to have a major renovation done to the building in 1901, so they purchased new pews, a new altar, and a pulpit. In 1914, the plain glass windows were replaced with beautiful stained glass windows, which were renovated last year in 2023 to preserve them. Electricity was added in 1925. Today, the church is used as a museum of local history. The front part of the building still contains the altar and displays of religious artifacts. In 1905, pump organ was donated and a period wedding dress from 1889. The back half of the church contains original artifacts that show how life was back in the mid-1800s and early 1900s. The building is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. It is an example of how the area was settled in the 1840s with small hamlets that had a local church serving the pioneer settlers who often came from the same region and background in Germany. The Valentine Wolf House was built in 1854 to house the Wolf family, including their 10 children and Valentine's cobbler shop. Its style of construction is fuckwork, also known as half timber. This is one of Wisconsin's rare homes using this style and still is on its original foundation and open to the public. Today it is furnished with period furniture and cobbler artifacts. It also houses the Genealogy Resource Center, which includes 65,000 index cards referencing surnames of the early settlers and their descendants. Also preserved there are many historic books and documents from the original handwritten meeting notes from the village's first meeting in 1846 when Wisconsin was still a territory. The Bell Museum was originally the Wolf family barn, which was built in the 1850s. Later it was greatly expanded in the 1870s to the size and appearance you see today. Around 2000, the barn was restored to house a personal 5,000 Bell collection of Sylla Lydia Bast, and a separate area for the artifacts of the Germantown Fire Department, including their 1929 Seagrave fire truck.
Do you have any moments or favorite memories that stick out to either of you from your time at the Germantown Historical Society? Any stories you want to share?
I think one of our favorite moments, I think Mary will agree, was when we took the Cub Scouts on a tour of the museums. Mm. And when we got them into the church museum where all these old artifacts from the 1800s are, Mary was going around and telling them about ice boxes for refrigerators and things like that. And mm-hmm. before they came, I was really, I just didn't know what to expect. Are these kids really going to care about ice boxes and mm-hmm. old washing machines and things that you crank by hand? But they were glued.
They were so excited, especially when you walk over and you point to this big square and say, "This is a refrigerator." Their reaction was, "No, it's not." And then you show them how the doors open, where they put the ice, where they put the food, and their enthusiasm is amazing.
Yeah. Now, Mary, you when you were talking about the buildings that your organization owns, you mentioned the Bell Museum, and I want to focus on that. So you had mentioned that the Sylla Lydia Bast Bell Museum houses this impressive collection of over 5,000 bells. Can you share a little more about the story behind the collection and its connection to Miss Bast, who I understand was born and raised in Germantown? Is that right?
Yes. As a child, Sylla grew up on her family farm located near Rockfield in Germantown. One day she found an old cowbell laying on the ground as she walked through the field, and she was fascinated by it, so she kept it. That was the beginning of her lifetime bell collection. In the mid-1900s, Sylla worked at the Little Jim restaurant on Milwaukee's east side. Prominent businessmen frequented the restaurant and learned of Sylla's collection. So often, customers would travel and bring back gifts of a bell for Sylla's collection.
Oh, that's neat. Mm-hmm.
She also traveled and collected bells wherever she went while on her genealogy trips in Europe. After her death, her collection of 5,000 bells was given to the Germantown Historical Society with the stipulation that it be preserved separately from other bells and put on display in the public to appreciate. The timing of this donation occurred when the Germantown Historical Society was contemplating restoring and decorating the 1875 barn and repurposing it. So it was decided to house Sylla's bell collection inside the historic barn. There is a silo attached to the barn, and it has one bell in it. And that bell is in that separated foyer area because it came from a church that was in Germantown that was dismantled. So it's in the silo.
Okay. So it was not a part of her collection. So per their wishes, it was separate. Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay. Mm-hmm. I always wondered, like, where did she get that bell and where did she put it before? But that makes a little more sense that it was a church bell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, back to talking about the genealogy work that your society does. How does the Jeffrey Genealogy Research Center contribute to preserving and sharing the life stories of Germantown citizens?
Okay, well, when the Wolf House restoration took place, the Jeffries Family Foundation offered the Germantown Historical Society a matching challenge grant of $80,000. This was a major help in raising the $160,000 that was needed to restore the half-timber home to be open to the public as a museum and resource center. Because of them and the matching generous donations of other Germantown community residents, the Historical Society today still operates our resource center. In there, the public has access to copies of the local church records, property tax records beginning in 1847, Germantown village documents from 1846, Germantown Insurance Company records from 1854, about 100 local family genealogies, often dating back to around the 1600s, 1,200 identified vintage photos, probably 2,000 that are unidentified. many of these records are indexed by family names on Carol Barkle's 65,000 index cards. Recently, we began a program to scan and digitize all of these records for safekeeping and to be accessible to future generations. If anybody's interested, during the summer months, we are open June 1st on Wednesdays 1 to 4 or by appointment.
Oktoberfest at Dinesville Historic Park is the Germantown Historical Society's biggest event of the year. Can you tell us about the history of Oktoberfest, its importance to the community, and what attendees can expect from the event if they haven't been before?
Okay, well, the first Oktoberfest was held in Munich in 1810. It happened to celebrate a wedding between the prince and the new princess. Mm-hmm. And the people really liked it, and they said, let's do that again. The celebration steadily grew and eventually spread out to other local communities. Today, millions of people celebrate Oktoberfest all around the world. But here in Germantown, the Germantown Oktoberfest is held at the Dinesville Historic Park at the newly constructed Mill Family Fest Hall. It's always held on the last full weekend of September, which this year is Saturday and Sunday, September 28th and 29th. This major event is sponsored by the Germantown Historical Society and many other local businesses, but it is the only fundraiser that the Society holds all year. Those who attend discover authentic German music, dancing, food, and beer. Special events during the festival are the Dachshund races on Saturday afternoon, antique car show on Sunday afternoon. All of our museums are open and donations are appreciated. The entire park is filled with people enjoying themselves and experiencing Gemütlichkeit, which is translated to mean a state of feeling of warmth, friendliness, and good cheer.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It is.
Are there any other annual events or activities that the Germantown Historical Society organizes throughout the year that you want to tell us about?
As Jim said, Oktoberfest is our only main event during the year. This year, we are going to be celebrating some other major events of the Historical Society. One will be the 30th anniversary of Oktoberfest, and that'll be at Dinesville Historic Park, and the 50th anniversary of the Germantown Historical Society. Those events are still in the planning stages, so we can't tell you more at this time.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll be sure to include links to your website and Facebook page and the show notes. So listeners, be sure to check out those links and be checking back throughout the year to find out the specific information.
Mm-hmm. A couple anniversaries going on for you guys. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same day, same year.
Yeah.
So for listeners who are interested, how can the community get involved or support these efforts that your team in Germantown is making?
Well, we need interested people to volunteer just a couple of hours of their time to keep the mission alive. We can use volunteers to help in the Resource Center during various projects that might interest them. And of course, we need over 150 volunteers to make Oktoberfest happen. There are shifts of 3 hours during numerous different events like cooking rats, serving food and drinks, helping in the children's area, helping inside the museum, or many other easy tasks that just need a willing volunteer to help. We invite everyone to come join us at Oktoberfest or visit with us at our museums and resource center. And once again, thank you for inviting us here today so we can share this information with your listeners.
Yeah, well, so for those of you listening, if nothing else, just go out, buy a couple beers from them at Oktoberfest, and you'll be helping them out, right?
Right. It all helps, and you have a good time. And as you mentioned, if somebody wants to learn more about, you know, the Historical Society, they can check out our website, which is germantownhistoricalsociety.org. And there you'll find more detailed information on our museums. And you can also see our past newsletters, which include, each one includes an historic story written by Mary Herrick that goes into the history of our buildings and our museums, as well as like the hamlets, the seven hamlets that originally formed in Germantown area and then consolidated to become the town of Germantown. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you both. It's been a pleasure to have you on our show. We appreciate your time and you sharing about yourselves and your organization. If any listeners out there are also part of a historical organization in Washington County and you'd like to be featured on our podcast, let us know. We'd love to add you to our list and have you on. And thank you, listeners, for tuning into this week's episode of The Heritage Connection, brought to you by the Tower Heritage Center, home of the Washington County Historical Society, whose mission is to forge meaningful connections across generations to Washington County's hardworking legacy. See you next time.